Good evening, everyone. Microphones are working well this evening. Sorry, just sorting out some procedural issues. But I declare the meeting open, and we acknowledge we're on the traditional lands of the Kaurna people. We respect their elders, past and present. I'll let everyone know that we record the audio of the council meetings, and they'll be available publicly, apart from any confidential items. The minutes, would someone like to confirm the meeting minutes? Thank you. Moved, Councillor Telfer, seconded Councillor Masika. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously, thank you. Do any members wish to foreshadow a potential conflict of interest in any matter on the agenda? Can we leave aside the development plan amendment item, because I think that will apply to a number of members, and I think we'll have a discussion about that when we get to it. But any other items? Councillor Telfer?
I have an actual conflict of interest to do with Westminster because I am a neighbour.
Thank you for acknowledging that. All right. As I said, the others in relation to the development plan we'll get to when we come to it. We go straight on to deputations then. Now, I say to members, elected members generally, we've had a practice in the past of bringing forward motions which relate to deputations, but I am getting concerned that it's getting out of hand. So I'll leave it. I'm not going to suggest it, but if members wish to bring a matter forward, I'll leave it for a motion from the floor if anyone wishes to do so. To begin with, we have a deputation in relation to the streetscape policy, etc. So I'd ask Ms. Patterson to come forward, please. If you come forward here to the left, there's a chair for you at the front of the chamber. So you have 5 minutes. If you finish early, then that allows time for members' questions if you wish to leave that time. And Ms. Dixon will instruct you about the microphone. Sorry, a change of name. This is Ms. Preston. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor, for allowing me to address you and the City of Marion councillors. I am here because of your decision to change the rules and allow residents to plant artificial turf on verges, and because I genuinely care about the environment and the city in which I live. I support Councillor Valescu's rescission motion to have this decision reversed. I have lived in the City of Marion my entire life and have loved growing up and living in beautiful tree-lined streets with real green verges, parks and nature reserves. Marion Council has strong environmental credentials with action on climate change, work to create climate resilient communities, supporting Minister Spears' ban on some single-use plastics, and supporting forums such as the Cooler Greener Adelaide one held in March this year, which I attended. However, the latest decision on changing the verge garden rules to allow artificial turf goes against the good work that has been done by Council to cool and green suburbs. On the City of Marion's website, and I quote, has developed verge garden guidelines to support Council's vision of a community that is livable, engaged, prosperous, innovative, connected and values nature. Artificial turf, to my mind, does none of these things. A rule is a good one that protects the environment and reduces the use of plastics. In my mind, it would need to be equally good or even better to change the rule. Artificial turf is significantly hotter than natural surfaces. It is made of plastic and needs to be disposed of at the end of its life to landfill. It acts as a heat bank to increase summer temperatures. Reflected heat from it causes stress to surrounding plants and contributes to heat island effects. It doesn't allow much water through and compacts the underlying soil, and what water it does allow through can stagnate and cause tree roots to weaken, bringing the roots to the surface. I was surprised that council would change the rules to make one resident happy when they knew of the environmental implications. Even your own staff advised against this change, believing it created more problems than it solved. From listening to your discussions at the last council meeting, I'd like to address some of the points you raised in favour of artificial turf. Not many people would do it anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Now that council has changed the rules, you don't know this for sure. You have a responsibility to make good decisions and to help educate the community. By allowing this change, you are validating this practice. Council wants people to take pride in their verges and make their streetscapes nicer. Yes, of course, but you need to support the community to do this in an appropriate way. There are better ways by actively promoting residents to take ownership of their verges and support real green plantings. I'm sure council staff can advise you on this. People are allowed to install it on their property anyway, so why not let them install a little bit more on their verges? Council has a role to educate and inform the community on what is best practice. I have never done anything like this before, but 2 weeks ago I set up an online petition on change.org, which has gained over 540 signatures. Many comments are those residents living in the city of Marion adjoining councils who are totally opposed to this change. A Facebook poll conducted by 891 ABC Radio Adelaide asked if synthetic lawns should be allowed on verges. 3,100 people voted, with 73% saying no. Sophie Thompson, Australia's preeminent organic gardener, author and presenter of the ABC Gardening Australia program, loathes plastic grass and reports it can reach temperatures of 60 degrees on a hot day, even hotter than bitumen. She actively has come out opposing this decision, and there's been so much media interest. As you can see, there is strong community support, with many having the same sentiment as myself. I see the council having missed a real opportunity to educate and encourage residents to take ownership of verges and plant them out with real plants. There's water-wise plant options, create amazing impact, biodiversity that could potentially lift the value of properties and community pride. Creative thinking and planning could inspire and beautify our neighbourhoods, not only creating lovely streets and more vibrant communities, but cooling them too. Do we really want fraying, dusty, plastic, artificial lawn verges that will become toxic landfill in 10 years? Or nature strips filled with flowers, grasses, herbs and the like, providing habitat for bees, butterflies and harmony for residents? The council verge has become one of the most significant green spaces in the urban environment. As more and more houses are being built on smaller blocks, closer together and subdivisions, we need these verges more than ever. You are in an important position at this critical time, with climate change and plastic pollution of great concern to many, and we look at elected members to lead us in the right direction. I urge you to reconsider for the sake of our environment and our community. You want council to be not known for taking us backwards? With courage, you can reverse this decision. You can make it a win for council, a win for residents, a win for beautifying, helping to cool the city of Marion, and a win for the environment. Thank you.
Thanks, Ms. Preston. Little over 5 minutes, but that was good. You may resume your place in the gallery. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now we have another deputation. Mr. Murray, please come forward. Mr. Murray is speaking on footpaths, especially vis-a-vis cul-de-sacs. Mr. Murray was kind enough to forward a written copy of his deputation, and I have forwarded that on to members, but only very recently, so it's in your email inbox. Thanks, Mr. Murray.
Thank you, Mayor Hannah and councillors. Quick background on myself. I'm a retired safe work inspector, so I have reasonable experience with regards to safety. The motion that is put up with regards to consulting residents of cul-de-sacs without a footpath shall remove from the footpath construction program each cul-de-sac which does not have at least 50% of respondents in favour of footpath installation. I find that very interesting. If you've got eight houses, say for argument's sake, in a cul-de-sac, and only two respondents are there, and the rest say, oh, why do I have to respond or whatever, you're going to make a decision based on that. I find that really interesting. But apart from that, footpaths are about safe passage. Safe passage is all about us, each and every one of us. Some people drive cars, others ride bikes, but we're all pedestrians. And particularly, if you think about it, those that are disabled, etc., rely very much on footpaths. You've got a situation here where there are a considerable number of streets in Marion Council that don't have a footpath on both sides. You have a policy in place at the moment which I believe is going to put a footpath on each and every street. With regards to the children and the elderly, the disabled, they're most at risk when there is not a readily accessible footpath. Here in Marion, you have a situation whereby there are many, many streets that have only one footpath. There are some that don't have any. Therefore, you are putting at risk those persons who want to access a footpath. They are forced to work on the road surface. Who is liable? There will always be legal opinion that will vary. But realistically, because there is no footpath under your current policy in a couple of streets, because there is no footpath because of residents' decision, or because there are rubbish bins blocking footpath, as occurs in the foothills, who is ultimately liable? I would suggest it's you, the council. And of course there will be legal opinion that may vary on that, but in the end, I would suggest that it is you, the council. The City of Holfast Bay in 2008 went down the road of only having one footpath per street. In other words, ripping up existing footpaths to save the cost of maintenance. When they delved into it further with regards to legal opinion and trying to decide who should have a footpath and who shouldn't have a footpath, they of course decided unanimously in going back to, no, we should all have two footpaths, one on each side of the road. We don't have aldermen anymore, or alderwomen. You are elected by the residents to make decisions. Aldermen in the past, or alderwomen in the past, were there to represent the whole of the council area. You have your own wards, but you do also have to vote for equity. Equity for each and every person in Marion Council. That's your job. Sometimes those decisions are easy. Sometimes those decisions can be difficult. But you should make those decisions based on such merits as safety. And I would urge you to always err with caution. Because ultimately, this council and you yourselves may be held liable in a court of law. I urge all of you to vote an emphatic no to this proposal. It should be done on the basis of safety, on equity, and on the fact that sometimes you have to make decisions which don't dwell well with the residents out there, but it's based on proper thought and proper action. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Murray. You've left a short amount of time for questions, if anyone has one. But if not, then thank you, Mr. Murray. You may resume your seat.
Thank you.
We'll carry on. Folks, on page 35 of the agenda, there was a document put in the agenda in error for the minutes of the Review and Selection Committee meeting of 7th of May. I think that's the right one, not the last one, but the one before. You'll find on page 235 of the agenda the correct minutes, or what appears to be the full and correct minutes. So I propose bringing that late item was sent out as a separate email, which would have only been received today, I suppose. So if you can locate it in your inbox, if you haven't seen it already, it will mean the most, of course, to those members who are actually at the committee meeting. Now, Do I have, first of all, do I have leave to bring forward that late item to deal with it now? If no one's objecting, Councillor Valesky, you wish to speak to that?
Your Worship, I was wondering about bringing forward the motions with notice in regards to the deputation. I take your point.
Just order. I think we need to. Can we just deal with one issue at a time?
Sure. Okay.
So
I'll flag that, but I'm happy to move this now.
You're addressing a different issue. Happy to come back to it. I'll come back to you.
Right.
Now, if there's no objection to that late item being dealt with now, then the motion is as recorded on page 35, except that it won't be Appendix 1. It'll be... I don't know, I think we should identify it somehow. Ms. McKenzie? Report R14. That seems more obscure than Appendix 1. Can we add to that late item on this agenda, or late item for this agenda? And maybe page 235. I'm just trying to think of people in the future who are trying to follow this. And then you delete Appendix 1, because it's not Appendix 1 anymore. Right. So, would somebody like to move confirmation of those minutes? Councillor Valescu, seconded Councillor Masika. Any discussion? Then I'll put that. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you for tidying that up. Now, Councillor Valescu, you had a procedural motion.
Yes, and if I can just qualify, I think people may have come to the session aware of past practice, and if we were to change practice, if there are too many deputations coming in and mucking up the agenda, I think it may be important to draw a line in the sand from tonight, so people know in future that if they want to stick around.
So, Councillor, you can just move the motion, would be good.
I'll move that we deal with the motions dealt with in deputations sooner in the agenda.
Right, so you're moving that the, what's it called, streetscape guidelines motion be dealt with forthwith, followed by the cul-de-sac footpaths motion, and then that the agenda resume. Something like that. Seconded Councillor Crossland. It's a procedural motion. I'll just put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. So we now go to... Help me with a page number here. Page 217. Is that the rescission motion? Yes, that's right. So for... those with an agenda in front of them, page 217, amendment to the City of Marion Verge Development Guidelines, otherwise described as the Streetscape Policy and Verge Guidelines. Councillor Valescu to move a motion.
Look, I'm happy to move the motion as is. It allows a bit of natural justice for people that moved forward thinking the rules had changed, but it does put an end point on that, being when the agenda came. Very similar to practice when budgets changed the rules at the federal level. So I think a lot's been said on the issue. Based on all the response from the community, the national media that this has got, as well as local media, I think it is important to rethink the decision. And I'll leave that up to members to have another go at this and see if we can do something which I believe better fits in with what our community expects.
Just a point of order, unsure which motion...
Indeed, thanks, Councillor Cross. I was just about to take up a point of order. There are two motions listed on the page. The first motion, and I realise they go together, but not necessarily, the first motion being a rescission of the motion passed at the last council meeting, which was to allow... fake lawn, for want of a better term, as a permissible footpath paid for by the individual residents. So I'm just letting all of the elected members know, and indeed the public know, that this is the test. Do we wind back that decision made at last meeting? So that has to be the first motion. If that's wiped, if that's successful, then a motion about something else can be put forward. So we'll test that. Is that motion seconded? Councillor Masika, did you wish to speak to it, Councillor Masika?
Your Worship, the Chair, I'd like to second this motion the way I did it before, that to stand against changing up the policy or the guidelines regarding up the veggies. And the reason I'm seconding this one is because based on the principles of past decisions which we did, we supported the minister with the single-use plastic. And then we said, we came up here, we agreed that the council administration should do auditing to find what are we not doing better to respond to the climate change so that we can address the issues. So I'm going to second this based on those two facts, that I'm not supporting the artificial veg and I'm supporting the motion.
Thank you. Is anyone speaking against the rescission motion? Councillor Gard.
Your Worship, it was a very thorough presentation by the person, Ms. Preston, doing the deputation. I stand by everything that I said in the original setting of the motion. I do believe that we are talking about very small minorities. I do believe there's a lot of subjectivity associated with these materials. I don't believe that people really know what they're talking about when it is a subject more generally about impact on the environment of vergers in general. For example, how much dirty fuel is used by lawnmowers to mow the lawns? Now, let me say one thing quite clearly. I would much prefer a natural lawn than an artificial one, any day. But what I'm saying is that for a minority of people that are not in the position for one reason or another to do that, and yet they want to present their properties and produce good amenity for their neighbours and for visitors to the area, which has a psychological factor as well, which we are very conveniently forgetting. Instead, the option is rubble, as we see very much in my ward, particularly in the northern part of my coastal ward. I believe that these optional factors are not being sized, and therefore to build a case, a rather flimsy case, based on solicited surveys which are not significant to the total population, is a falsity. So I believe we were right the first time. I believe that if you wait it out as to livability of an area and the pleasantness of living in certain presented environments versus the alternative, I think the small incidence of the cases we're talking about is forgivable. I could mention other things, iron roofs versus tile roofs, and nylon clothing versus clothing that requires methane-producing animals to produce it. And people are not passionate about these things, and I believe that's because it's not convenient to them, and they're subjective about this particular example. So I'd like to turn my back on that subjectivity.
Anyone else speaking in favour of the rescission? Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Your Worship. I didn't speak the first time, but I wasn't in favour of artificial grass. But Councillor Guy's actually a little bit wrong there. Our first decision was based on community consultation, and on that occasion, the community voted in favour of no artificial grass on our vergers. Now, that decision went out for a full consultation and came back. It was subject to a number of informal and formal council discussions, and I think we made the best decision at that time. When we start getting into arguments about how much fuel a petrol mower costs to cut the verge, I think we are borderlining on the ridiculous. How much does it cost to get the artificial turf to the shop and then to the person's house? We can keep going. Having said that, this is not the best way to keep doing council business, moving a motion, rescinding a motion. I would have preferred this to come back to council with a suggestion that we go out to the community and we give them a second vote on it. And if this motion isn't supported, I'd like to foreshadow maybe that as a motion. And let's do business properly rather than just knee-jerking based on who we've got in front of us on any one particular evening.
Anyone else speaking against the rescission? Councillor Hutchinson.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'm not going to say too much more. I think Councillor Gard has said it all. I agree with Councillor Crossland, we shouldn't flip and flop with these things and take a considered approach. I, for one, would like to see the results of how we go over, say, 6 months and how many applications we actually get. I've tried to solicit that from staff, but I haven't got any other numbers other than the two residents that brought it to us. So I'd like to give that a go, and I'd like to... I'd be supportive of going out to a full consultation on it if we wanted to go down that path. But I'm certainly not in favour of rescinding it.
Anyone else speaking in favour of the rescission? Councillor Hull.
Mr Mayor, I think that it would be quite enlightening to see officially what our community feel about it. I think the numbers will be there. The reaction since the decision to have artificial grass in the media has been overwhelming. Social media, it's been overwhelming. And I think that we could clear this up by having a survey. Now, we need to make sure that it's measured, that we don't have it dominated by a plastic turf manufacturing company. We've had skewered surveys before. Put it out there. Put it out there and we'll see what comes back, because I'm confident that our community doesn't want this. And I think that would validate any decision making we make. I think that would be a reasonable way to go. The foreshadowed motion does not address what's already out there. It seems to give some... It's tantamount to approval to what's already there. And it's a challenge for administration, how do we wrestle with that, where some people are allowed to do it because it was before a certain date and others aren't. So I struggle with that. But above all, Mr Mayor, it's interesting how Marion Council has been getting a bad rap over this. It's fair to say that's the case. But we've another initiative that we're embarking on with public consultation. It's out there right now with the cat curfew. It's the other way around. That's my take on it, that the community is very much warming to that idea. And we're being watched by other councils. Mitcham Council are watching, I know, because a councillor contacted me a couple of days ago. So I think that we're doing public consultation for one thing and not the other. Put it out there. And hopefully it's done properly. Hopefully this is marketed properly, Councillor Gard, that we actually put it out there so and make it easy for people. Just a simple yes or no is probably going to suffice. Do you support plastic artificial grass being laid on the verges of the city of Marion? And leave it at that. There will be a cost. But I think in terms of public consultation, there's a cost now with the cat curfew. It's money that the community would respect being spent. So that's what my take is, Mr Mayor. I think put it out there and see what they've got to say.
Is anyone else speaking against the rescission? Then I'll leave it. Sorry, Councillor Pryor.
Yeah, just very quickly... I think there's been a lot of misinformation around the verges and the fake grass and all of this stuff. Firstly, I'm not 100% convinced that infrared technology can see the difference between grass and bitumen very well. They're very, very different. Secondly, I went for a walk on some artificial turf and some real lawn that's just been laid by the City of Marion on Saturday a week ago after we had heavy rain, and the artificial turf was fine. The real lawn was waterlogged and the artificial turf was fine. So it calls into question all sorts of different things as well. What we have to get back to and what we've missed and what the community have missed is that this is not a comparison of having artificial turf versus a beautifully manicured grass or even a native garden or any of that sort of stuff. This is artificial turf versus some dirt. Right? That's what it is. That's the comparison we're making. There are people in our community, and they may be a minority, who don't have time to plant a garden and don't have time to water a garden and can't look after this stuff. Where artificial turf provides something which is quite aesthetically pleasing to some. And if you don't look too closely, maybe others.
Thank you. I've just been advised by staff that we've had 4 applications the last 3 weeks. I'm not making any judgment about that, just providing the information. Councillor Blescu, I'll leave it to you to close the... I beg your pardon. Another speaker in favour of the rescission, Councillor Telfer.
In favour of the rescission, we are well known, or have been well known, as a council that takes and puts energy into environmental issues, and we have blotted our copybook by doing this. The interface between air and soil is very important, and the whole issue of the heat sinks of turf are extremely worrying.
Thank you. If there are no other speakers, then I'll leave it to Councillor Valescu to close the debate.
Thank you, Your Worship. Just wanting the community expects us to lead on this. They are looking at it as a precedent that we're setting, that we're giving green light to plastic on our verges. I don't believe that a scientific methodology is stepping on two pieces of verge and coming to an ultimate decision. In regards to people being too busy for the verges, they pay rates and they do expect us to have a reasonable standard outside of that. As far as what's been allowed so far, it was only a specified time frame in the next motion that where people thought the rules had changed. Now, the issue I want to point out, that we can't bring up this issue without consultation and then say we need to go back to consultation. We had our consultation initially as far as part of the policy. That's the way it should be done. And I think that for us to go to consultation again, even though I strongly believe it will reflect what the community are telling us at the moment, is actually a waste of our time and our resources. I think it's an opportunity now to put this to bed, to acknowledge that some people acted when they thought the rules were different and respect that, and move on to some more involved strategic business that the community expects us to work on. So I put the motion to you members.
All right. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, motion is carried by a majority of councillors. So what's the word? Is it an absolute majority we need? Just a majority. All right. Then I'll leave it to Councillor Valescu to move his next motion.
I just move as is, and obviously the point where people have already made that, it is more about us respecting the fact that they thought the rules were different between the last meeting and when the minutes went out for this meeting.
Is that seconded? Councillor Clancy, did you wish to speak? Then anyone against? A question from Councillor Holt?
How many people, we know how many people applied, how many people have been given approval?
Mr. Allen, can you help?
Through the chair, I'm aware of 3 permit approvals, and I think the 4th one is pending.
So three people out of 80,000.
Any other speakers? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Carried by majority. Thank you. Now, the next item we go to is page 216, a motion in relation to cul-de-sac footpaths. Now, is that a point of order, Councillor Pryor?
I'd just like to declare that I do actually live in a cul-de-sac. So one day there may be provision for it not to have a footpath, or it to have a footpath, so I will be leaving.
Very well. Noting a conflict of interest. Yep. I suppose it's relevant if you live in a cul-de-sac without a footpath. If you live in a cul-de-sac with a footpath, it wouldn't matter. So anyway, it's up to the individual member if they make that judgment. Now, I know that members aren't always keen on me making these observations, but I do have to say that, as a note to administration publicly, that when elected members bring forward a motion, that I really do expect it to be taken seriously and respectfully by administration. So to have staff comments that say, oh yeah, if you want to do it, we'll do it, is really inadequate for our decision making. I find that disrespectful. Fortunately, in this case, there are some staff comments attached to the question on notice on page 231. So, and indeed, this is why I suggested the motion. So, staff responded to Councillor Crossland. There are currently 48 roads that do not have a footpath on at least one side of the street. 46 of these are cul-de-sacs, so almost all of them. And staff have said, in many instances, residents within these cul-de-sacs have requested that council do not install a footpath due to little or no pedestrian demand, and they don't want their landscaping removed or destroyed. So, given that we construct at the moment about 2 footpaths a year, although that might increase, I thought it made sense to actually find out what people think of footpaths and follow the democratic result. So that's why the motion was put forward. But I'll leave it. Does anyone, any of the members, wish to move the motion or ask a question, Councillor Crossland?
I have a slightly different motion, but I'm happy to wait, see if anyone wants to move the motion as currently printed.
Anyone? I don't care. I mean, Councillor Hutchinson to move. Did you want to add anything, Councillor? Is that seconded? Councillor Telfer? Did you wish to add anything, Councillor Telfer? No? Then anyone speaking against or shadowing an amendment?
I'll move an amendment, please, as yes. I've sent to staff.
Rightio. We'll put that up on the screen. We'll just have to evaluate, is it consistent with the motion or is it right? Well, it's really quite a different motion, Councillor. It's inconsistent with the motion that's been moved. So what I would suggest is
we'll shadow that then as the motion after we've dealt with the one that's before.
That's very well. So is anyone speaking against the motion? Then I'll simply put the motion as printed. All those in favour? All those against? Carried by majority. So we can now return to the normal agenda and we don't get to that foreshadowed motion. So we're now into the confirmation of the minutes of the Urban Planning Committee. So page 39 of the agenda. Councillor Telfer to move.
A question first of all.
Yes.
Given that I have suggested to the staff that I'm going to next meeting of Urban Planning ask for an addendum to be noted in the minutes of the fact that in brackets one of the motions could have Marion Shopping Centre, just to make it clear which suburban activity zone you're talking about. What is the status now then if we pass if we note them, fine, but if we pass them and I raise this issue next meeting of urban planning, how does that sit?
So I'm just checking, are these minutes which have not been approved by the committee itself? So these minutes have been circulated but not approved by the committee. Shall we just defer consideration at this council? So Ms McKenzie's suggesting we need it somehow for the DPA item, not that there's any substantive motion in the minutes. So Ms McKenzie, can you just explain that?
Through the chair, if there is an item that needs to be included in the minutes, the council can note them and have that section noted in the minutes for it to be included.
Or perhaps
these minutes are reflective of the discussion that was held in the Urban Planning Committee, which has then informed the item on the housing DPA.
If it's a matter of the minutes being accurate as far as they go but requiring some clarification, we could simply add the clarification to the motion that's moved, and that might resolve the problem. So, Councillor Telfer, can you just explain, because we could add that to clause one there, just at the end there. It's not an amendment of the minutes, so with respect...
When I read the draft minutes, I noted that the suburban activity zone would be better defined. However, the minutes are accurate to the meeting, and I determined that when the minutes come back to the Urban Planning Committee, I would request at that point to add the phrase brackets Marion Shopping Region or Marion Shopping Centre for clarity. It could perhaps go in these minutes, so I'd be happy
So what I'm going to suggest is, a sentence at the end of the first sentence after Appendix 1 there, it is noted that the reference to suburban activity node zone refers to the area surrounding Westfield Marion Shopping Centre. Is that adequate?
Yes, that's all right.
If you like, the shopping precinct bounded by Sturt Road, Morfolk Road and Diagonal Road, be more accurate, a bit cumbersome. If we say Westfield Marion Shopping Centre, people know what that is. Suburban Activity Node Zone, that would be in capitals, initial capital, refers to the area surrounding Westfield Marion Shopping Centre. It's probably better to use the vernacular so people know what we're talking about. All right. Are you happy with that, Councillor Telfer?
Excellent. It can't be muddled up with any other suburban activity zone, e.g. Alawuna, throughout the city.
I think you make a very good point.
So I'm happy to so move.
Councillor Pryor, or any other comment? All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thanks very much. And now we get to a two confidential items. So explaining to members of the public that should council decide to go into confidence, I think with these motions we might be, I'm guessing, 15 or 20 minutes where members of public are excluded from the meeting. But that's just a guide. So calling on the cover report, the title is Westminster Reserve on page 43. Does anyone wish to move that we're going to... Councillor Telfer's leaving the meeting. Councillor Hutchinson's moving. We're going to confidence. Seconded Councillor Pfeiffer. All those in favour? That is carried unanimously. So apart from people... Hutchinson, Pfeiffer. Apart from people named in the confidential clause, we'll have to ask others to leave the room. As I say, my estimate is probably 15 or 20 minutes, but that's purely an estimate. Depends how efficient we are.
Your Worship, we certainly can, and I think all we need in simple terms is just your feedback, and this is an ongoing iterative process, so it's not a problem at all.
Thank you. So, members, I suppose what we need to do here is, before we move the motion, invite any members of the public, if they wish to comment on our draft four-year business plan, they can. You just need to perhaps stand up, make yourself known, and we'll hear what you have to say. But if not, we can go on with other business, another discussion, but until quarter to, it's now almost quarter to eight, so until, let's say, quarter to nine, it's open for members of the public to comment on the annual business plan. That's a legislative requirement. I do have some points to raise with members, so I'll just, people can stop me if you want, but I'll just make a few comments from the chair. And if people agree with the feedback, then any amendments could be altered when the next iteration comes forward. So I presume that, I think that the Mayor's welcome needs to be updated a bit, just in light of some of the major project developments that have happened in the last month or so. So elected members can just let me know if you have a problem with that, and staff can let me know if you have a problem with that, but that's something I think just needs to be tidied up a bit, preferably made shorter, if anything. Members, in relation to, just have to give you a page number, page 65, got a very slight variation to suggest in relation to Southern Soccer Facility. So what I was going to say was, where it says two artificial turf soccer pitches, I was going to suggest it reads of at least two additional soccer pitches. So taking the word artificial turf out and putting in at least two additional. And that's in keeping with motion that we passed recently. And also deleting the words a club room, grandstand, car parking, lighting and utilities, because the question now is very open about what the shape of those southern sporting facilities will be. So that is an update. If there's no objection, what I'm assuming is that this can be included in the motion when we deal with it at quarter to nine or thereabouts. I note that there should probably be an additional heading somewhere in that list of significant projects of Mitchell Park Sports and Community Club redevelopment. That should be a separate heading with a brief description of our current proposal, which is an upgrade, keeping it very, very brief, but an upgrade to the extent of $10 million with $5 million federal partnership funding. Technically, we haven't decided to put a stadium on that site, but the $5 million federal funding does seem to be with that in mind. So I think, just bear with me a moment. The page that deals with the KPIs, this goes back to the KPIs that were adopted at council. A correction was made to the minutes, but it hasn't flowed through into this document. So if you look on page 76 of the agenda, got a list of KPIs, and the intention was that at the very bottom one, project-specific communications to the public should be timely and accurate, should appear in the core target box, but then the stretch target should say 100% or 100% success. It's only a minor thing, but that's what the intention was at the council meeting when we adopted those KPIs. Just going to the property and building works program. On page 87. One that's not there, and I'm asking staff for clarification on this, but I know that one of the suggestions had been an improvement to the toilets at the Glengarry YMCA, which basically haven't been changed for, or haven't been improved for, I think, over 50 years. And they're looking a bit tired. Is that on the list but not listed, or is it something that staff don't want to do? Is it something that members think should be on the list? Indeed, the old wives have to take it on notice, so perhaps some suitable question can be put. And then in relation to the irrigation and wetlands program, on page 89, I note that we've got Marion Golf Club there. Now, I just ask the question of staff how that fits in with a motion that's coming back about the overall resolution of golf club irrigation. So I'm not sure what that stage one means and whether it's yet subject to that imminent council decision.
Through the chair, it would need to take into account the council resolution around the golf course. I know some works, like some money, have been put aside in future budgets for that, but I'll take that on notice and make sure that they work together. Yeah, that works.
Thanks. Well, do we know when that golf club motion decision is coming back to council?
I'll need to check that, but it will need to come before any works occur, any capital works occur, and I don't think the report is planned to come before the budget, so we'll need to note that, that's subject to what council resolves in that area. So I'll take it on notice and make sure that both...
A question, Mr Mayor, on that note, if that's okay?
Yes, I think Councillor Holt.
You make a very good point. Are we getting ahead of ourselves, given that there is something happening behind the scenes which is confidential? But in terms of this current federal election, with candidates throwing money at different clubs, including the Marion Golf Club, are they making informed decisions? Are they made aware that it's all subject to a position that council may or may not take?
Well, of course, look, let's be clear, there has been an election commitment from Nicole Flint, MP, which we welcome, of $200,000 towards the golf clubhouse, I believe. Now, if there has been a confidential discussion about other related golf club matters, I expect that she wouldn't have been advised of such matters. But no doubt, you know, she's made that commitment based on what she has heard, probably from club members, among others.
You only need to know as much as what you've shared with the public tonight.
Well, just that there's I think we can say that there's a pending decision. One can deduce that from the cover confidential report from when we dealt with the golf course issue. So it's just a bit... I'm not sure how we deal with that, where we're putting something in our four-year plan in relation to a decision that hasn't been taken. So, Mr. Mifsud, do you wanted to know? Ms. Dixon's going to say more?
Through the Chair, we'll take this on notice. What we'll need to do is find out what that work actually involves, and should it be in conflict with what the other options Council is exploring, we'll reconsider that and bring a revised capital works program to Council at the next stage.
And maybe it would be helpful, instead of a cryptic stage one, actually in just a few words summing up what that is, fixing up the stream, doing the greens, doing the pipe, or whatever it might be, just in a one-liner, so that members of the public can understand that without a major research operation. Thanks for clarifying that. Now, the only other one I had, excuse my indulgence, members, but sometimes I just do not get time to send off the emails to clarify these topics. In relation to the long-term financial plan, which is the appendix, there's under expenses, we've got employee costs, and then we've got materials, contracts and other expenses. I'm referring to page 99. Now, I thought there was certainly a discussion a long time ago about separating out contractors who are not employees but do the work comparable to employees. And it's unclear, reading that, whether those contractor expenses are in employee costs or whether they're in contracts. And in my submission, they ought to be separated out. Mr. Mifsud, can you clarify that?
Yeah, through the Chair, Your Worship. Any temporary labour hire, which is what you're referring to, that fill the place of employees is included in employee costs holistically entirely. And what you're seeing in that line of materials and contracts is contracts relating to, whilst it's not a great example, but if you look at Downer EDI, who do all of our bitumen works, for example, they're a contractor, so that's what we're typically talking about there. And one of the biggest costs that would actually be in that line would be our waste costs.
Right. So, but if we get an expert to come in for 3 months to look at the computers or something, that would be in the employee costs, would it?
If they're through temporary labour hire, if they're a legitimate consultant or a contractor, they'd be showing up in one of those other lines, which is appropriate.
Okay. Maybe if it said employee and contractor costs, would it be more accurate?
We can certainly... employee costs is employee costs. This, the way this is set out is in accordance with the statutory reporting requirements that we have to comply with each year. We can certainly incorporate a note down below if that would be beneficial. Seem to be beneficial, which just says that employee costs includes all temporary labour hire acquired by the organisation, so we can certainly do that.
Right, I think I've had my three questions, just leave it at that. Any others? Councillor Crossland?
Just two questions, Your Worship. The first one is, although I know we haven't made any decisions on what we're doing at Mitchell Park, I just question if we do build two basketball courts, whether or not we should be investing any more money at Marion Basketball Stadium. Seems to be, if they're getting brand new, why would we want to spend money there? And the second question was, I might have missed it, but we're investing in outdoor play equipment, pool table, table tennis, outside Marion Cultural Centre. I don't recall that coming to Council. I thought we were still looking at what we were doing in that space.
Well, that is indeed another one. We have a very open question about what's going to happen in that plaza. So it's a bit like the golf club issue, that we know there are decisions in train, but they haven't necessarily been resolved. So, Ms. Dixon, what can we do about that?
Through the Chair, if Council wants to remove that because of the pending exploration, we can certainly take that out of there. I don't think it was a significant cost. It was more just looking at activation of that space through some equipment that could also be used in a future plaza if it's upgraded.
I think it's better that it comes out, and possibly with wording that looking at improvements to that plaza area or something very general like that, because it's simply something that we haven't resolved. So it seems premature to be highly specific about it. Ms Dixon?
Through the Chair, if I can just clarify. So there is money in the draft budget to do the investigations of future development of the plaza. That the furniture listed there is in addition to that and would be equipment that could be used in a renewed plaza as well. So it's movable furniture, outdoor furniture.
Well, it probably shouldn't be there pending the exploration, I suspect. I mean, Councillor Crossland, your view?
Yeah, that was what I was looking at. We seem to be putting things in that we haven't even discussed or made a decision on, because I know we've made a decision that we are going to be investing, for example, in Capella. We don't know how much, but that's not even on the list.
So, yep, improvements to Capella Nanagai should be in there. I'd suggest those very... Can you give me a page number, Councillor Crossland?
87.
So those specific elements really should come out. Okay, Councillor Telfer.
So through the Chair, mine's a bit similar to Ms Dixon. Is there some point in putting the Seaview High School courts and allied club rooms into page 87, or is it something that will be funded at the time if the application is successful at the end of July?
Through the Chair, it's not included at this stage because what Council is waiting is to receive a further detailed report subject to the outcomes of the grant application that you've put in, and Councillor Telfer, you're correct, that should be at the end of July. Should Council want to reflect the resolution that stands, you could put it in, you know, in the major projects section that you're exploring design and possibilities for that site, but it's certainly not included in the capital works program at the moment because Council needs to receive that further information.
Right. Your Worship, I suggest that there is a mention of the topic in the major works, even
yes.
though the detail is in waiting. Otherwise, when it comes back the end of July, Council looks at it. Somebody may say, but it's not in the budget and not in the business plan.
Look, that does make sense. We have at least a provisional decision on that one. So to say that we're exploring it as a major project is legitimate, but I can agree that we're not quite at the stage where you're listed in capital works. Having said that, some other things have probably crept in there as well that we haven't yet resolved. Anything else from members to clarify? Councillor Hull?
I just have to stand up for my dig, I guess. The Marion Cultural Centre one, Warrakowie Ward only has one mention in the Property Building Works Program, and that's it. And as Ms Dixon points out, that it is equipment that can be picked up, put on a truck, taken away, brought back. What harm would it do? It's... As I see it here, it's outdoor play equipment, a pool table and a table tennis table, like the table tennis table we've got at Jervois Street. I'm just a bit concerned that, you know, Councillor Pryor and myself, we willingly put our hand up regularly for projects all around the city. And when it comes to our patch, there seems to be some concerning trend happening here. We don't have any major sporting clubs, Mr Mayor. We only have the Marion Cultural Centre.
Councillor Hull, I accept then it's a controversial point. There are different views on it. So when we come to vote on this motion, I suggest that be dealt with as an individual item which we can vote on. You did ask what harm. The point that was made earlier was that it seemed to be preempting a more substantial decision, but if you don't think so, then that can come up in debate, and you know we'll give you a good chance to address that.
Well, it's simply
but rather than holding it up now, I'm certainly not taking it off the table. It should be on the table, but all I'm saying is because we have differing views in the group, let's deal with it by resolution later on. Councillor Pryor.
just a quick one on page 87 in the Open Space Recreation Works program. Just a typo, Dwyer Street Reserve doesn't really exist as Dwyer Road Reserve. Just for
it is too. Good
nice,
pick up.
Easy change.
Thank you. All right. So we've got that can be shaped into a motion while we're dealing with other matters. And therefore we can go on. If there's nothing else, Councillor Gard, there is something else.
Yes, I have been pestering Councillor Crossland with a couple of questions here. I'm just wanting to unravel the, or try and predict how the situation might unravel at Hallett Cove Sports and Community and what we may be up for.
Councillor Gard, I made the reference earlier under the soccer heading to make that more general, to allow for really any number of permutations.
I'm thinking of the buildings though. I understand there's obviously the sporting facilities themselves, but have we any commitment, I guess is what I'm asking, in relation to kitchens and that sort of thing that we're needing to account for in that format?
I'm not sure that we do because it's so embryonic. What we've done is asked staff to undertake a feasibility study. I would suggest perhaps if it was another step down the track, a bit firmer, that it should be in the plan, but it's just so preliminary, it may be better to leave it very general.
Yep.
It won't preclude, you know, a more definite plan coming forward once those studies have been undertaken.
Yep.
Fair question. All right. Nothing else? Then we can move on to the next item. As I said, we'll come back to the actual motion for that later on. So now we go to the Disability and Aboriginal Traineeships on page 100. Just looking for the... there we are, the recommendation on page 100. You'll note that there was a suggested amendment by the Mayor. Does anyone have that? Is anyone aware of what I'm even talking about? Councillor Telfer, you've got something?
So I move that we consider also a called traineeship, so that makes 9 trainees over 3 years. That is 3 a year for 3 years. And the cost is in about $428,000, if I remember rightly. And the value is that I have asked the CEO, and he says that they can safely include a person of disability. They are learning and inputting. They can safely include an Aboriginal traineeship, and they can also include somebody from a called background. And the reason that I would raise that is that this is our community. Our community is made up of a variety of people, and our council employees need to reflect a wide variety of people. So we are giving 9 people a leg up over 3 years, and they then will be creating their own pathways in their lives to move forward. But we've done something worthwhile along the way, but we have also gained, as we have from our current trainees, along the pathway that they take. We have been well served this year by the trainees we've had and the input they've brought to the table throughout council and the work that they've done. So it's worthwhile and we should go on doing it.
Thank you. Just a clarification, the reference to CALD is an acronym for culturally and linguistically diverse. The catchword used to be non-English speaking background, and before that it was probably something else again. Is that seconded, Councillor Crossland? Councillor Masika?
Second the motion, presented by Councillor Telfer. Based on the reading from page 102 at the bottom, it says that the administration thinks it's a good idea and they support the idea, and the maximum it can come on board to make this idea workable. So I'd like to second that motion.
Thank you, Councillor. Anyone speaking against? A question from Councillor Crossland?
Two questions. One, can I ask that the cold is put in full? Because people won't understand that unless they're involved in service provision.
Will the mover accept that clarification? Thank you.
Second question, Your Worship, is, look, I have no issues with this scheme in general, and it's great that our staff have the time to impart their knowledge. I'm just questioning whether nearly $500,000 on giving nine people a leg up is really in keeping with what our residents would want. I would have loved to have seen a little bit more information about what the benefits to our ratepayers are, rather than just those nine people. What's the overall benefit for the nearly $500,000?
So that's a question for staff about the benefits to ratepayers. Mr. Skold?
Through you, Chair. The staff who we've got on this program at the moment are actually doing a job. So Brandon, for example, is working out with our open space teams and doing an absolutely wonderful job producing. As is Isabel, they're both learning, doing work that's contributing to the resident of the City of Marion. So I would suggest that there is some time spent by staff by getting them up to scratch, but once they're up to scratch, they're doing work.
Anyone speaking against? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Carried by a majority. Thank you.